This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is that time of the day. The day mock at 1 o'clock here on the Midday Show as we dive into a different mock draft and look at what the Philadelphia Eagles are going to do with the 32nd pick. Next Thursday night. All right, today we're going over to Pro Football Focus, their latest mock draft. Number one overall, easy, Cam Ward, the quarterback out of Miami to Tennessee. Number two, the Cleveland Browns select Travis Hunter, wide receiver, cornerback out of Colorado. Number three, a little bit of a shakeup here because we haven't seen this in a while. The Giants select Shedeur Sanders, quarterback out of Colorado. Number four,
okay.
Pats select Abdul Carter, Penn State. Number five, Mason Graham, the defensive lineman for Michigan, goes to the Jaguars. All right, as we go through this, we scroll down here to the Philadelphia Eagles, and we have ourselves a new name that we haven't seen in any of these mocks. Nick Emanuori?
Yeah, Emanuori.
Emanuori, South safety out of South Carolina. All right, the way they say it here is the Eagles already have the best roster in the NFL. Now they add a physical outlier to their defense. How about this? At the scouting combine, and this is a safety, by the way. He measured 6'3", 220, and ran a 4'3", 840.
Yeah, he was moving.
With a vertical inch of 43 inches. This kid is an athletic specimen. Hugh, your thoughts on the safety out of South Carolina?
You know, he's very versatile, very athletic. I'm looking at some of the things that they're saying about him, and I'm trying to envision him in this defense. Running a 4'3", you know, you're putting him back there in his size with some already speedy guys.
Yeah.
You know, and you're talking about, what, 6'2", 220-something pounds, physical player. That if you get a guy like that, it loosens up everything in the secondary, you know, and you have somebody that's probably going to come up in coverage and be able to hit, because I'm assuming, haven't seen too many highlights on him, but you got to assume a guy that is that big is coming up. He's putting some hands on
I
folks.
Watched a few highlights. He stands out. Like, he's
yeah,
big.
He putting hands on somebody.
You know who he reminds me of physically? The kid in Baltimore, Kyle Hamilton. Because when he came out, he was a very big safety. See, Hamilton is 6'4", 220. And Eagles, and that was the draft they ended up with Jordan Davis.
Yeah, but I think there was a talk
there
about
rumors
Kyle.
About
yeah.
Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah.
This kid's interesting to me. Nick Emanuori out of South Carolina.
And it gives you – it fills a need that you have, and I know that, you know, for most people, they don't really like the fact that you're going to have a bunch of young guys back there. But I feel like you have enough up front and enough in front of him that, you know, if you teach him and he learns the same way that these other guys have learned, he'll be okay.
So
I think he'll be fine.
He blew up at the combine. That's when his stock started to rise. I mean, he had a good career at South Carolina, but he was the only safety at the combine in over 20 years to run as fast as he did, jump as high as he did, and jump as far as he did in the broad jump. I mean, he's an
like
athletic
11.6 or something like that.
This is an athletic specimen, and he was quoted after the combine saying, "I don't think you've ever seen a safety like me." So he's got a little
bench
bit of
press 20 reps.
He's got a little bravado to him. Kyle, what do you think? Emanuori, safety, South Carolina.
Yeah, fine. It's like boring, I guess.
He's cool.
That's fine. He can be cool, but
you mean,
like,
the position is boring?
I'm just, you know, I'm getting sick of thinking about taking a pick at number 32. I think I'm out on that entirely. Can somebody shake things up and give me a mock draft where the Eagles trade up for a big time player.
Like, you know, number four for Bill Carter, like we did last week on the show.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, No, 32 is not speaking to me anymore. Well, I think I've grown out of it.
Do you want to move on?
Yeah.
Yeah. You and 32 have had your better days?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't be. In fact, I'm going to be surprised they pick at 32. That spot doesn't scream pick. It screams trade up, like Kyle's saying. Or, Hugh, if there's three quarterbacks that don't go in the first round but might go early in the second, you know someone's going to make them an offer to jump to that final spot in the first round. So you guarantee you get that quarterback before the next day.
So you just wait. You think they're just going to be waiting to see, you know, what kind of moves they can potentially make.
Yeah, or if, like, if, or, go ahead.
No, I think that they'll have somebody at 32, but if there's potential to move, I'm thinking that if there's potential to move, that they probably will.
Yeah, I could see them having like three or four guys, and if 23's on the board and it's they love the player, maybe they jump up. To, you know, they have, the Eagles have 20 picks the next 2 years. There's plenty of ammunition to go up and get a player they want. Now, how high will they go? I don't know. And that's how we, I mean, I wanted to go all the way to two or three on Friday.
It feels like the kind of draft where after 15 and all the pretty good players on the board, I'm snoozing, going to bed.
You're falling asleep.
Yeah.
You're not listening to our trail?
Well.
You better.
He said he just told you what he was about to do.
You can't go to sleep. We got a whole draft show.
Oh, that's fine. You guys can enjoy that.
We will. All right. Next Thursday night it is. I'm kind of out on 32 as well. I'm going to trade up or trade. Again, if the quarterback's on the board and someone's offering a haul to move up a couple spots, then yeah, they might move back. Eamon Worry, though, today's mock draft. He's an athletic specimen out of South Carolina. And safety is a huge need. I mean, let's just be real about it here.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's why I'm not mad at it. But I hear Kyle. Kyle's like, it doesn't move the meter for him. But I like it.
He does seem like an interesting player.
He does.
He's right that you don't see. Like, just when I first read his profile before I went and looked at the highlights, I just was like, wait a second. Is this printed wrong? 6'3", 220, runs that fast?
Athleticism.
You don't see many safeties
that
big.
Yeah, you don't. Definitely don't see.
How big was Sean Taylor?
Sean Taylor was big.
Because Sean Taylor was athletically probably the best safety I ever saw, and unfortunately his career and his life. Yeah, I got you. But I thought he was going to be a...
he probably would have been a Hall of Famer.
I think so.
It's safe to say that because he was special.
Sean was listed at 6'2", 230. So,
yeah, he...
But he was 10 pounds bigger than this.
Yeah,
and he ran like the wind and crushed people.
Yeah, Sean was no joke.
Yeah, he was a great football player. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. All things Phillies. And you can react to the mock draft stuff as well. Mark in Woodbury Heights talking to Phillies and their early season issues. Hey, Mark.
Hi, guys. Hello, Hugh.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Hey, Mark.
Blessed to be alive today. Blessed to be alive.
Definitely.
I don't think this is a surprise to anybody. I've called the station several times over the last several weeks since the season started and talked about this offense. And I've heard several times it's early, it's the first game of the year, it's the 12th game of the year. Listen, they are what they are. And what are they? A roster that creates a lot of weak contact, swings through tons of pitches, not real discipline at the plate, bad approach. I don't know why everybody's in love with this batting coach. He, like, goes under the radar. I mean,
everyone's in love with him.
Well, yeah, everybody talk about how great he is.
You know what? We're all
never heard one bad thing about
Kevin Long. Looking for a lever pull.
And he needs to be fired.
They can fire Kevin Long tomorrow for all I'm concerned. That'd be the first lever they pull around here, Mark.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, this is Dombrowski's fault. And Rob Thompson doesn't help when he puts Rojas and Marsh in the lineup on the same day. I mean, there's two automatic. With Bone, there's three automatic outs yesterday.
Yeah, you can't win that way. You cannot win that way.
I mean, here's the bottom line. I don't know what they're waiting for. Bring up the Crawford kid now. Just put him at the top of the lineup. They did bat Schwarber behind Harper. I recommended that last week.
You know what? The first thing I thought of when I saw the lineup, I said, that's Mark and Woodbury's lineup.
He did say that.
Yeah.
Yes. It hasn't done much, but
it's okay.
I mean, they are what they are. And here's the problem, Joe. After they lost to Arizona 2 years ago, you needed to break up the roster a little bit. And they didn't do it. They brought the whole team back. And now they brought the whole team back again. This is not a playoff team. They're not. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if it's April 1st, December 1st, July 1st. They're not a playoff team. Offensively, they are inept. They'll have stretches. they'll hit some home runs. Everybody will get excited. They'll put up 12 one night. The next night, they'll put up 2. They're not a playoff team. Gentlemen, God bless you, and have a great day.
You too, Mark. Appreciate it. They did. I mean, Topper did steal Mark and Woodbury Heights' lineup on Friday. He called in. He gave his lineup. We saw it 3 hours later.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're a playoff team, though. I mean, that history has proven that much. How far are they going to playoffs? Now, that remains to be seen.
So, I remember we had a conversation before the season. Are they a lock? I didn't feel it then. I don't feel it now. I'm not telling you today on April 14th, I'm saying they're going to miss the playoffs. I don't feel that yet.
Mm-mm.
But the NL is better than people think it is. Like, the NL West has the Dodgers, who are going to obviously be good. Diamondbacks, who are a good team. The Padres, who are like 11-3. The Giants, are they coming here, 11-4? That's just that division. The NL Central has to have at least one team. Those are the rules. And the Mets look better than the Phillies right now. So that means the Phillies could be in the wild card mix. They just better wake up. Like 2 years ago, they just kind of just putzed around for 2 months and still made the playoffs. I don't know if you could do that this year. And as far as the Crawford thing goes, that drumbeat's going to get louder. Hugh, the more Marsh struggles, Rio's on it, Mark's on it. People are going to want Crawford up here.
Yeah, and I think it's going to happen. I think that it probably would happen later in the season, but because of the way things are going right now and the fact that Marsh is struggling the way it is, we've been focused on Bohm for the last couple of weeks, but Marsh is a lot worse. He's in a lot worse position than Bohm is right now. And I think that it's forcing Topper, or it's going to force Topper to have to make a move soon.
And Bohm has a little extra cover because there's no third baseman at AAA ready. You know what I mean? Like, Aiden Miller's their young infielder, but he's not quite there.
Yeah, he ain't there yet.
Like, they have a first-round pick center fielder at AAA. Like, that's pretty easy to just, like, bring him up. Like, Bohm almost has more time to figure this out. I think they're going to replace Bohm with a trade deadline thing. I think they're going to trade for a third baseman, and that's how they're going to replace him this season. But Marsh, they just have to figure this out. They might just move Crawford up here very quickly. I mean, I don't know if he's ready, but I'd be excited to watch him play.
Yeah, you want to see something different.
His dad was awesome, too.
And the unfortunate thing about all this, Joe, is that a lot of us are feeling the way that we're feeling. Because it's eerily similar to what it was last year. Everything that's happened, we talked about the chase rate and how it was down and everything like that, but it's eerily similar, the way that we're having these power outages, to last year.
Well, speaking of power, if not for Schwarber, nobody's hitting home runs.
No.
I think they have 14 as a team and he's got 6. That's a lot on one guy to have to carry the heavy lifting for home runs. Patrick is up next on WFP. What's up, Patrick?
Morning, guys. How are we doing today?
Hey, what's up, Patrick, man? What's up?
It's 1:12.
Good to talk
PM.
To you. Hey, listen. The Phils here. I guess already we're. You know, I try not checking until Memorial Day. You know, but it's real hard for me to just sit here, just kind of watching go by without really commenting because we're just picking up from where we started last season, and you know, there's essentially no moves. We added an arm when we needed other things. And you know, Ken Sentiments, and my best hopes coming into the season with what we had was that maybe the early tells in spring training that they're going to take some more pitches, that's going to, you know, we're not constructed as a small ball team, but any team should be able to practice putting the ball, you know, the bat on the ball, making contact and keep the ball in play. And that was my hope for something new, you know, something changing the season. And you know, obviously we're not there. And listen, we got a boatload of problems right now. We got a boatload of problems. And then you look at the East and say, okay, where are we going to fit in here? So, listen, man, I just think it's going to be a long, long summer. And Ron from Monco, I'm not with him exactly, but I think I might jump in his boat where he's at with them.
That's not
because
good.
If something doesn't change quick, man, I know it's early and I know it's a long season, brother. But listen, man, we're doing the same old, same old.
Yeah, and it's not working.
I see it. Yeah. I definitely see where you're coming from. I'm not mad at you.
Yeah, and Patrick, good funk. You know what I thought about as a couple callers ago said it was on Dombrowski? You know, Dombrowski really is, I know we call you do-nothing Douglas. Do-nothing Dombrowski.
Do-nothing Dave.
Do-nothing Dave, 2 straight off seasons. I mean, it's really remarkable. Now, to be fair, Lizardo was a good move, and that's actually, Lizardo might be their best player so far this season. So that was a good trade. But I mean, as far as the everyday lineup, the position players, they really have kept this thing very status quo for 2 straight years, and people are annoyed by that.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of people said early on, before the season started, that they were going to wait and see when it comes to the playoffs. Nobody's doing that.
No. It's the pledge.
Yeah, because of the pledge and the fact that we've seen some of the same things that we've seen in the past. It's irritating for a lot of folks. I get that. It's very, very irritating for a lot of people.
Yeah, and look, I'm okay if the GM of the team does something that different than I think. I mean, they're supposed to know more than me, but you better work, right? Like, you double down on the core of this team, and you double down on some of these mid-age players like the Stotts and the Bohms and the Marshes to get better. Well, they're not getting better, especially Bohm and Marsh. I mean, those guys are going backwards right now. That's not what you want. Joe is up on WIP. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Buzz. How you guys doing?
Hey, what's up?
Okay, so I'm going to start from the top to the bottom. First of all, I want to apologize to Middleton because Dombrowski's really doing a terrible job. Middleton is a fan like we are. And it's messed up that it's Dombrowski. I say Dombrowski, I spell it D-U-M-B.
Dombrowski.
Got him.
Dave Dumb.
That'll do it.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I know what you mean.
So, I mean, you can't keep running the same stuff back. And the batting coach. Somebody says something about the batting coach.
Yeah, Kevin
Law. He's got to go. I mean, can we bring Charlie Manuel up just to give us some pointers? I'm sure Charlie Manuel can jumpstart something.
Well, didn't we do this in 2019? We threw Charlie in the dugout for a month or two. It was fun. Let's do it again. I'm in. Get Larry in uniform.
Bo back. Yeah. Yep.
Bo would flip some tables.
Boom. He has to be in a different situation because he already doesn't feel comfortable in Philly, and now he's off his limb, and he's not going to come back in Philly. He can come back. He needs a small market team. Maybe we could trade Oscar back for Boom. I don't know.
I mean, I would do it. Now, Reese is not off to a great start this year, but if you tell me I can have an at-bat tomorrow and I get Reese at the plate or Boom, I'll take Reese.
Yeah, bring well, left-handed heavy. Yeah. We need young kids that are right-handed that hit. We always go for the older generation, you know, the second contract guys or third contract guys. We don't never get a good contract where they got good time left. I mean, everybody like Harper, you know, in his 20s. I mean, we need it younger when they've already proven themselves. Stott, great kid, but he let's put Sosa there. You know, we need to put Clemens somewhere. Clemens is, you know, hitting is contagious. We need to get hitting. Even though Clemens is left-handed, we need more right-handed batters. But Clemens always comes through, and that's why I don't understand why he's not up here.
He is up here. They just don't use him. He's on the team, Joe. He's in the major leagues.
I know. But, I mean, he's sitting on the team, and Boom and Martin ain't doing nothing.
I know. All right, well, I think part of it is positionally. It's tough to find place. But, I think you got to at some point get him in the lineup. Joe, we appreciate the phone call. Joe had a lot of ideas there, Hugh.
A lot to digest.
Once Hoskins back, once Boom out. How do we think Boom's going to handle this week? So they're back home, 7 days, no day off, 7 straight days at home, Giants and Marlins. Now, if he gets a few hits tonight, I'm sure he'll get a big cheer and everyone could exhale. I'm a little concerned about Boom this week at home. Hugh, I don't sense the crowd after a couple at-bats, if he's slamming the bat, is going to be...
If he's making contact, I think he'll be fine. Mm-hmm.
He just needed some home cooking.
Yeah.
Like how I was throwing that back in my face. Let me
paint a picture for you.
Yes, that.
He gets a couple hits tonight. Everyone cheers him. Maybe a little standing O after a second hit or third hit. Everyone feels great. Let's go to the other side. He gets an 0-for-4 tonight, and that last at-bat he strikes out. What's this crowd like tonight here?
Standing ovation. You know how we do.
Wait a minute.
In Philadelphia.
You said if you go what now? 0-for-4 tonight?
0-for-4. Oh. Last at-bat's a strikeout.
You might have what was that year when he said he hates y'all people?
22.
No, you might have one of those nights.
Yeah.
I'm going to need him to pull a Papelbon to the crowd. He's grabbing his junk as he's walking back to the dugout.
Defiantly?
Yep. I'm just saying.
I'm okay with that.
A defiant junk grab.
Do we think Boehm is in a good headspace for Philadelphia tonight? I don't either.
I think that.
You can remove tonight from that, too.
I think the fan base will be. If he gets a couple hits, hard hit balls, and, you know, he'll be fine.
I actually think his first at-bat tonight.
You think he just needs a couple hard hit balls that still fit.
Like hard hit balls.
But he's had a lot of those.
This is what he's done all season long.
No, that's what I'm saying,
he's,
but if I think they'll give him a little, you know.
We're done with the hard hit balls thing as fans, I think.
See, this is when people say you're pushing buttons.
That's what I'm saying, I'm pushing buttons.
You're instigating.
I'm not instigating. I'm trying to be positive.
You're instigating
balls hard. Huh?
What?
Skating. I'm skating. What?
You're instigating me.
Oh, I'm not instigating you. I'm trying to be optimistic.
Yeah, that's a problem with me.
I think he's going to get...
That's what I'm talking about.
I think he's going to get a hand when he steps up for his first at-bat tonight. I think he's going to get a we got your back type of thing tonight.
Yeah, until the game goes.
First at-bat. Yeah. First at-bat, I think he gets more of a cheer than you would expect. Not a boo.
You know how I feel about it.
I'm just telling you why I think it's going to happen. How do you think we should embrace him tonight? A silence?
That like, a boy. Hey,
or
Alec.
I'm not saying a standing thing. I'm just saying
I think we sit there and react to whatever he does at the plate tonight.
But we know he's fragile.
Great.
Like Marsh, I don't think gets anything. No one even cares. People are getting popcorn when he's up at the plate because you know it's a pop-up anyway. But I think Bone people are going to be locked in on, and they're going to try to give him a little bit. Let's go, Alec. Let's go. Like something positive until we see the result. Just saying. I'm
out.
Yeah, I know. I'm out on Bone to begin with. Let's go to Donald in Chester. What's up, Donald?
Hey, fellas. How you?
Donald, what's up, buddy?
Well, you know, I was watching a game clear up until it was 4-0 yesterday. And, you know, I was paying attention to the details. And, man, it's hard for me not to, like, agree with Mark from Woodenboro because of the collapse, you know, last year. But yesterday I was paying attention to it. And I was looking and I realized just how their anticipation of pitches was way off. Just wrong guesses, you know? And also, too, I was listening to it on the radio one day, and the announcer asked Kevin Stocker what he wanted to see differently from them. And he said, execute when there's two strikes. Well, I said, after watching the game yesterday, I'm like, well, if you're going to stand there and take hittable pitches and you're going to miss hittable pitches, well, later on in the count, you're going to be swinging that balls in the dirt, balls far, far away, and all the junk, and I'm missing. And I was like, I said, well, how is it that Schwarber seems to be the only bright spot, you know, in this lineup? Because I'm like, man, this pitching staff is pitching like, as far as right now, they're pitching like they're ready to go in October. You know, they actually look like that to me. But I was like, man, I just watched this lineup and I said, man, there's so much stuff going on. Because if you can't play low ball, like if you can't play small ball, then it gives a bad sign that you're not a complete hitter. So therefore, you're just limited to everything that you do. So, you know, I get it. You know, I just get it. I told Kyle when I called, I'm in the 62%
screener
category, man. I'm there.
You don't have to apologize, Donald. It's okay. I mean, you know what? This is part of the pledge. We all took it. Donald, we appreciate your phone call. You don't have to apologize for having some concerns. That's what WIP's here for. We voice those concerns.
Every day.
Yep.
That's right.
We apologize sometimes. So.
We do apologize when we have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You anticipate any apologies coming this season for Bohm and Marsh?
Mm.
You mean saying they're sorry for what? For what they did?
No, us to apologize to them.
I don't see, so I'm not apologizing.
Well, Hugh's not going to.
Well, you wouldn't even if you should.
Yeah, I'm not apologizing. I apologize.
Well, you did that one time.
Yeah, that one time.
Yeah. Well, everyone heard it. So 215-592-9494. All right. We will check in with you people coming up at 1:45.
You people.
And on the other side, we'll get to what could end up being one of the Phillies' biggest mistakes this offseason that we haven't really spoken about yet, but the evidence is mounting that Do Nothing Dave may have missed on this one. 215-592-9494. It is a midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.